The tale is told of an old man who groaned from his heart. Oi! The doctors came. He should drink goat's milk. He went out, bought a goat, and brought her home. Not many days passed before the goat disappeared. They went out to search, but did not find her. She was not in the yard, and not in the garden, not on the roof of the house of study, and not by the spring, not in the hills, and not in the fields. She waited several days, and then returned by herself. When she returned, her udder was full of milk, the taste of which was the taste of the Garden of Eden. Yum! Not just once, but many times, she disappeared from the house. They would go out in search of her, and would not find her until she returned by herself with her udder full of milk that was sweeter than honey, and whose taste was the taste of the Garden of Eden. My son, I want to know where she goes to bring this milk which is sweet to taste and a cure for my bones. Father, I have a plan. What is it? I will tie a rope to the goat's tail. When I feel a pull on the rope, I'll know that she's left. I'll catch the end of the rope and follow her on her way. My son, if you are successful, I will rejoice. The boy tied the rope to the goat's tail and watched it carefully. When the goat set off, he held the rope in his hand and did not let go until the goat was on her way and he was following her, until he came to a cave. The goat went into the cave and the boy followed her, holding the cord. They walked this way for an hour or two, or maybe even a day or two. The goat wagged her tail and bleated, and the cave came to an end. When they came out of the cave, the boy saw lofty mountains and hills full of the finest fruit, and a fountain of fresh water that flowed down from the mountains, and pleasant aromas wafted through the air. Good people, where am I, and what is the name of this place? You are in the land of Israel, and you are close to Sfat. Blessed be he who has brought me to the land of Israel. I shall sit on the hill under this tree until the breeze blows gently and the shadows flee. Then I shall go home and bring my father and mother to the land of Israel. As he was sitting and feasting his eyes on the holiness of the land of Israel, he heard a voice proclaiming, "Come, let us go out to greet the Shabbos queen." And he saw men like angels wrapped in white shawls with myrtle branches in their hands, and all the houses were lit with a great many candles. He realized that the eve of Shabbos had arrived, and that he wouldn't be able to return. He uprooted a reed and dipped it in the type of ink used for writing Torah scrolls. He took a piece of paper and wrote a letter to his father. "From the ends of the earth I lift up my voice in song to tell you that I have come in peace to the land of Israel. Here I sit near Sfat, the holy city. Do not ask how I arrived here, but hold on to this cord which is tied to the goat's tail, and follow the footsteps of the goat. Then your journey will be secure, and you will enter the land of Israel. When she arrives at father's house, father will pat her on the head, and she will flick her ears. The note will fall out. Father will pick it up and read what is written on it. Then he will take up the cord and follow the goat to the land of Israel." The goat returned to the old man, but she did not flick her ears, and the note did not fall. My son, where are you? My son, I wish I could die in your place. My son, an evil beast has devoured him. My son is surely ripped to pieces. Vayismayin lehisnachem, and he refused to be comforted. I will go down to my grave in mourning for my son. And whenever he saw the goat, he would say, "Woe to the father who banished his son, and woe to her who drove him from the world." The old man's mind would not be at peace until he sent for the butcher to slaughter the goat. As they were skinning her, the note fell out of her ear. My son's handwriting. From the ends of the earth I lift up my voice in song. Oy vey! Woe to the man who robs himself of his own good fortune, and woe to the man who replaces good with evil. He mourned over the goat many days and refused to be comforted. Woe to me, for I could have gone up to the land of Israel in one bound, and now I must suffer out my days in this exile. Since that time, the mouth of the cave has been hidden from the eye, and there is no longer a shortcut, and that boy, if he has not died, shall bear fruit in his old age, full of sap and richness, calm and peaceful, in the land of the living. Our parsha has many parallels with Shai Agnon's Fable of the Goat. Both are stories in which the messenger fails to convey an accurate message, leading to tragic consequences. Many other parallels can be drawn, and I encourage you to think about them. How the story draws from the story of Mechiras Yosef, and Yaakov's misunderstanding of the implications of the Ketones Pasim stained with goat's blood. How the goat could represent Zionism, with the son recognizing Zionism to be part of the divine plan, and the old father, the outer generation, failing to, quote, get the message, and instead branding Zionism as destructive and deadly. Yet at their core, our parsha and the fable of the goat are stories of missed opportunity, of failure to seize the moment when given the chance to do so. We know that almost immediately in our parsha, Bnei Yisrael recognize their mistake. As soon as Moshe tells them how wrong they are, the Torah notes, Vayis'ablu ha'am me'od, how the people cried, how they mourned, how they recognized how truly wrong they were. They wake up the next morning, eager for a fresh start, ready to make amends, ready to go up to Eretz Yisrael. Yet they are unable to. Hashem does not allow them to do so. Rabbi Frand asks a very simple question. Why wasn't their tshuva accepted? Isn't there a concept of forgiveness, of a second chance? The answer he gives is a powerful one. One can do tshuva on an avera, but one cannot do tshuva on a missed opportunity. We live at a time when the goat is there to lead us, when the mouth of the cave is open for us to enter. We need to treasure the ability that Hashem has given us, the ability to make aliyah, the ability we have to, quote, go up to Eretz Yisrael in a single bound. I'll end with a thought I have each time I'm on a flight that lands in Israel, as I and the other passengers ready to hurriedly exit the plane. My mind always turns to a Gemara at the end of Ksubis. The Gemara describes how when Rav Zera went up to Eretz Yisrael, he couldn't find a ferry to cross the river into it. Undeterred, he grabbed a makeshift rope to cross the Yarden. A Siddiqui, observing the scene, laughed at Rav Zera, deriding his seeming impulsivity. Yet rather than responding in kind, Rav Zera turned to him and said simply, "Duchta de Moshe v'Aaron lo zachula, ana mi yemar de zachinana." The land that Moshe and Aaron didn't merit to enter, who says that I will merit to? That is why I am running, said Rav Zera. That is why I am grabbing this makeshift rope, doing anything I can to get into Eretz Yisrael. That is why I am following the goat, despite not knowing definitively where she leads. Have a good Shabbos.